It's wonderful to be here this morning and celebrate a special day like today. We thank you so much for being here with us. Our pastor's in Ohio, but he is celebrating there while we celebrate here. But I thank you so much for joining us on this very special day that we're going to be remembering our veterans. I want to take this time to ask that you go around and shake hands, everyone, greet everyone. If you're a visitor, we're so happy that you're with us today. Thank you for coming by, and we trust that our warmth as far as fellowship and the greeting we give you, you'll feel at home here. So y'all go around and greet everybody.
All right, if you'll return back to your seats, let's also turn to page 126. Page 126. Let's sing the first, third, and last.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. Let music swell the breeze and ring from all the trees, sweet freedom's song. Let mortal tongues awake, let all that breathe partake, let rocks their silence break, the sound prolong. Our Father's God, to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God our King.
Please be seated. stand with us once more. Let's turn to page 127. Let's sing the first and last.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed for patriot dream that sees beyond the years, thine alabaster cities gleam undimmed by human tears. America, America, God shed his grace on thee.
You may be seated.
Brother Tom has an announcement that he'd like to give us right now, so I'll give the time to him.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to make a comment or two. And we do have an announcement to make and a need to fulfill. I received a phone call from, thank you, bud. I just figured I lost it. Okay. We received a phone call on Wednesday of this week from a pastor, a friend of ours, and I haven't talked to him in quite a while. I thought he was, didn't know what he was calling about. But anyway, he told me about a situation where he knows of a missionary. He's in contact and supports a missionary in Sri Lanka. And what the whole gist of the matter was, the missionary had called him hoping that he knew of somebody that could supply Bibles in both the Tamil language, Tamil is a language spoken in India, as well as the Urdu language of Pakistan. And I asked him why, what was a missionary in Sri Lanka need that for? Well, apparently there's a core group of people in both of those languages nearby where this missionary is, and he's doing outreach to them, and he's needing Bibles. So he made a phone call, and that phone call made on another contact. Anyway, three or four contacts later, they ended up with us and called and said, is it possible that we could have the electronic file? Once I told him the story of the Urdu New Testament, said, could I have a copy of the Pakistani Urdu electronic file, because he was going to have them printed and then shipped to Sri Lanka. He needed only about 1,000 or so of those. Anyway, long story short was I told him, well, we can do all of that, but we already have that quantity in our here at the church ready to do something with. And he said, brother, if you will, I can send you an address, and if you can package those up and ship them, we'll be forever grateful, and we'll pay for all of the shipping. I said, well, praise the Lord. Told him how much it cost. Actually, those of you remember when we were packaging those up, and we've been doing it all alone, packaging one or two boxes and then shipping them. And it, by the way, if you don't know, it's a box. Usually ends up being the maximum size of a box, about this big and about that high, and cost just at $100 to ship. So it actually gets to be real expensive real quickly. Anyway, he said his church would pay for that, and if we could go ahead and package them up. So the plan is right now to just ship 2 or 3 boxes, see how they make it. If they make it okay, then ship a bunch of them. All of those boxes of Urdu New Testaments we have need to be broken apart and repackaged into something the post office will allow. It's into a smaller package. So I need to start with that this week. And it's going to take a good amount of time to get about 70 of those boxes together. By the way, however much that hurts, however much work it is, imagine paying for it yourself at $100 a box. But anyway, that church in Springfield, Missouri is going to pay for it and get these to their missionary where they can go ahead and work it. And to be honest about it, I need help to repackage those boxes and get them ready for shipment through the United States Post Office. They have their requirements, how big they have to be and everything else. And I would really appreciate if we could get some help. The very first attempt at that, I want to try on Tuesday at about 3 o'clock, and that should allow some of you folks that are especially homeschool kids or something, someone to come up and give us a hand with that, and it'd be great to have it done as soon as possible. But that, along with the need for praying for that dear missionary as he ministers with Pakistanis. We also told him we have the ABCs of Christian growth in Urdu, and he just went very excited about that. He wants a few copies so he can go ahead and crank up a copy machine there in Sri Lanka and duplicate copies of that. Anyway, pray for us, number one. Number two, if you're able to help, let's try for Tuesday at 3 o'clock. By the way, come and talk to me if you think that wouldn't work for you, but you have another time, we'll work something out. And appreciate very much whatever you can do to help us get that ready and be that closely, can we say it this week, be that closely involved in missions. The very next people that will open that package up and use it may be somebody that's never had a copy of the Word of God in their life and be able to ship it to them. So I appreciate that. I also was handed a note here by Miss Michelle. Said the ladies' ensemble practice has been canceled for this evening. Okay? So consider that and give us a call. Give us a contact, okay?
Thank you, Brother Tom. We'd appreciate your help on that. Today, 100 years ago, our nation was celebrating. On the 11th day, on the 11th month, at the 11th hour, there in France, the armistice was signed, ending World War I. They called it the war to end all wars. Sadly, it did not work out that way. We're still having wars today. But our nation has determined that today is a day that we remember the veterans, those that have been willing to serve our country through service in the military. That's why we've recognized that. You've noticed we've had patriotic songs and things like that. If you have served in our military as a veteran, I would ask that you please stand this morning. Everyone that served in our military, please stand. We want to honor you this morning and say thank you for your service to the nation and for keeping us free. Our young men here have some gifts for you. If you young men, go out and pass them out to everyone here that's standing. We'd appreciate that. And we want to express that as a nation, we're very grateful for the sacrifice you've made, plus many others even have sacrificed with their lives so we can enjoy their freedom today. And you deserve this recognition today. So we want to give an applause to everyone that has participated in that. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You have announcements or not?
Ma'am, please come up for the offering. So, Brother Bruce just said it is Veterans Day, and thank you for all of you that served. We have Ladies Fellowship Tuesday on the 13th at 7 p.m. The Peddler, November the 17th, be here at 8:15 if the tickets are $7. Parents, save the date. The youth shout out to the shut-ins dinner coming up November the 17th at 6 p.m. Thanksgiving mid-week services will be Tuesday, November the 20th at 7 p.m. Ladies, you already covered that, right? drama stop will practice the 13th through the 15th at 6 p.m. and 18th. After morning services, potluck for lunch. See Starla for more details, and see those of you that are Sunday school teachers. See Michelle for your Christmas party. When you're going to have it? Oh, and the Hope Ministry. Oh, we got the Hope Ministry on Friday. Every Friday. Just every Friday. All right. So if you don't know what it is, get with Brother DJ about it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for this day. And Father, we ask that you be with the services this morning. I pray that you be with Brother Bruce as he preaches your word. And Father, just pray that you speak to our hearts and prepare our hearts for your word. We're so thankful for all that you do, Lord. And we pray for the offering and pray that you bless it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Save me by his grace. when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Thank you very much, Ms. Sherry, Ms. Haley. Appreciate that special. Thank you for joining us this morning. Appreciate you taking the time on a cold morning. As it looks like the winter is coming a little bit early this time. And I appreciate you making out this morning to be with us. I want to make one other announcement that I would not normally do this, but I want to take advantage of it since I have the privilege of being up here on a Sunday morning. My bride of 39 years ago is celebrating her birthday today. So y'all, I want you to please celebrate. And when you get a chance, tell my wife that we're very happy that she's celebrating a special birthday today. And we have been blessed that not too long after we were married, we became members of this church. It's been over 38 years. And we thank you so much for all this church has done, not only for us, but our family. We feel very much a part of this body the way it should be. Plus, I'd like to let you know that this week has been an answer to prayer in many other areas. Some of you have realized that our son, David, who's in Argentina with his family as missionaries, have been working on their visa all for the last month or so. Been a problem for them to get it out, and they were having a lot of bureaucracy getting it done with and everything, and finally they got it done this last Friday. Thank the Lord for you for that. It's all done for another year. Now, in 1 year, they have to do the same thing all over again, except they told them this. Next year, they're changing the procedures. So there'll be different. He says, well, what are they going to be? He says, we don't know yet. They were concerned because initially there was going to be a lot of cost involved. There were the fees of renewing the visa, plus a fine for doing it late and everything else. They figured it was going to be over $1,000. They were ready to pay for it. And when they got everything done, they looked up and said, oh, you're a minister. We're not going to charge you anything. So the Lord was very good about that. Plus, some of you have been helping us out with some of the costs of maybe coming, having them come out. We want to say thank you. Last night we bought the tickets. They're coming out. Be here in December, I think. Arriving December 8th or 9th. And they'll be here for that Sunday. And I think they arrive on a Saturday morning. And then that very next Sunday they'll be with us. And then they'll be here through the 10th of January in the area in the U.S., So we hope to see Kelsey and David and Lucas, and they'll have some time to spend here with the church over the holidays. So thank you so much for that. The Lord has answered a lot of prayers in that area, so we're very grateful. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 7. We're going to be jumping around in a lot of different verses today, but to begin with, we're going to start out with just one verse here, Luke chapter 7, verse 38. And as we have our custom here, please stand as we read the Word of God. Luke chapter 7, verse 38. Let's read both 37 and 38. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would take the passages we've read here and the other ones we'll be studying today, and may the Holy Spirit have freedom to work in our hearts to realize the importance of being very close to you. We thank you, Father, that you are very close, that the promise of your presence is true, and that you're always with us. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. As I mentioned today, they're making a very special celebration. 100 years ago, this very day, our nation was celebrating. It was a big event. Victory in Europe. Victory in World War I. A few years later, they did the same thing after World War II. I was reading that our president is in France. He's visiting some cemeteries. He went to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier there in France, and remembering, because that was the area where they signed the armistice and it ended that very famous war. I've been in many, many places on this earth. I've traveled, as many of you know, I travel a lot. And I've been to some spots that we consider to be very important spots. For instance, I've had the privilege of standing at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in Washington, D.C. I've been to Westminster Abbey in London. In West, the British do the same thing. If you walk into that cathedral, in the very center aisle on the floor, they have an eternal flame burning, and that's their Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. What's interesting is just right next to it is the tomb of David Livingstone, the missionary to Africa. In fact, he has a more prominent space than most of the kings and queens of England. We consider those to be very important spots. I've had the privilege of traveling to Israel several times, and we'll go to the Temple Mount. And of course, there they have the Western Wall, or some people call it the Wailing Wall. And for the Jews, it's considered the most important spot for them. And they go there to pray and get as close as they can to the presence of God. I've been over to the Garden Tomb and seen Gordon's Calvary, a spot that we possibly think that that was a place where our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. We might consider all these places sacred spots, places that we would like to go and see and think that, well, maybe here the presence of God is the most important thing here. But really, where is the most sacred spot on earth? It's not any of these places. Here we find in this verse that we read today, this woman went to the most sacred spot there was, and that was at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the most sacred spot we could go. And I would like to take some time this morning and look at four different passages of people that went to the feet of Jesus. Because that should be the same thing for us. And today, even though we might not travel much, we can be in the most sacred spot on this earth when we are at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here in Luke chapter 7 and verse 47, we find the result of what this woman did. Now, she was criticized heavily. A lot of people said that what she was doing was bad because she was a sinner. We're not sure, but some people think this possibly could have been Mary Magdalene. But look what our Lord Jesus Christ said in verse 47 of this chapter 7 of Luke. And it says, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." You know, our Lord Jesus Christ knows everything about us. Maybe one of the reasons we don't want to approach Him. You know, a lot of people are scared to approach Jesus. They're afraid of a lot of different things, and maybe one of the reasons they're afraid of is because of this very fact. He knows everything about us. He knows the most intimate thing. He is omniscient. He knows everything. Nothing is hidden from our God. Amen. So He knows even your thoughts. You know, in my life, as I mentioned a few moments ago, I was very privileged to, 39 years ago, marry the love of my life. And we spent those 39 years together through many different events. We get to know each other. And usually when you've been married that long, you get to know how each one of you think, don't you? And you get to the point where we're even looking at their, just looking at their face, you know what's going on because of the relationship you have. But despite that, there are still secrets. There are still things that they don't know about us. But there's one that does not have any secrets at all. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ. And this Lord knew exactly about this woman. All the things that she had done. He said, her sins are many. The Pharisees said, how dare he allow her to touch him? But there's something about all those sins that are so beautiful. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, The Lord was talking about how our Lord Jesus Christ wants to take those that are sinners, that come to His feet, and when they come before Him, He wants to take care of those sins. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." At the feet of Jesus, we find forgiveness of sin. That should be the first discovery that we find. You know, when I do travel to all these places, and we can hear about these places and watch about it on TV and think we can understand it, but it's a different thing when you're there in person. It just makes it more real. There's some little details that you'd never notice when you've been watching it or looking at it as a picture or on the TV or in a film or any other type of form that we have today. When you're there in person, there's a lot of things that you discover about that place that you didn't even know about. Well, that's the same thing when we come before our Lord Jesus Christ. And the most important discovery that you can find at the feet of Jesus is that He wants to forgive you. That He loves you no matter what you've done, no matter how bad you've been. But He doesn't just want us to come to His feet so that we can get salvation. In Luke chapter 10... and verse 39, we find another woman, also named Mary, and how she also came to the feet of Jesus. Luke chapter 10. Let's start reading in verse 38 and read through verse 42. Verses 38 through 42 says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" Here she was sitting at Jesus' feet as he was teaching. Have you ever thought about Jesus wanting to teach you? We think of Jesus Christ as a Savior, a forgiver, one who paid for our sins. That is the proper concept. It is true. In Luke chapter 7, we saw how he saved this woman who was a sinner. He loved her. He was willing to die for her. He suffered on the cross for those horrible things that she did. What a blessed discovery that is. But he doesn't just say, "Okay, now that you're saved, you're on your own." After we receive that forgiveness, he wants to continue having a relationship with us. He doesn't want to stop just there. Remember why God created us in the very first place. Way back there in the Garden of Eden, when he created Adam, he wanted a friend. He wanted someone just to talk to. You know that the worst thing that a human being can be is alone. Now, I'm the type of person that I like to be alone for a while. In the life that God has called me to have, I'm around people a lot. I don't get to be alone much. And so therefore, once in a while, I think, you know, I would like just to be by myself for a while. An ideal vacation for me would be on a deserted island where I'm all by myself, and I've got a book, and I can just do what I want to do, read the book. Now, if my wife were with me, they'd be totally opposite. She'd be up on the top of the highest palm tree, screaming and hollering, "Anybody get over here, I can't stand the loneliness." She's a very social person. But in the end, being on that deserted island after a while would get to me. Because God did not make us to be alone. Just like He did not want to be alone. He wanted our fellowship. He wanted that relationship. He wanted us to spend time with Him. Sadly, we lost that relationship when we sinned. When Adam and Eve there in that garden did what they did, that relationship was severed, it was broken. And He wanted it so much that He was willing to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place to reestablish that relationship. But you know what the saddest thing of all is? If you as a Christian, if you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior and you don't want to have a relationship with Him, you've completely lost the reason for your existence. You ever think about that? You ever thought about why God made you? He made you because He wanted to have time with you. And part of that time is as He sits down and teaches you. One of the most precious times I have with my children is the times that we discuss things, talk about life. Basically, I teach them. I have every week at least, maybe 2-3 times, sometimes every day almost, my children will call me and ask for advice, even to this day. I thank the Lord for that. That's the proper relationship between parents and children, even if they're adults. We're together. And I do the same thing with my father. One of the hardest things that I'm going to have to face in my life is when my father leaves this earth and I cannot go to him for advice. But I still have my heavenly Father. And there's one thing about that. I might have lost sometimes my loved ones. My grandparents are now not on this earth anymore. Others that I look for help, for advice. But I have the best one of all. I have my Lord Jesus Christ. But let me ask you, how much time do you spend at His feet as a Christian? As His child? Here we find the instance of the stories of Martha and Mary. And we know what's going on. Of course, they had a brother named Lazarus. We'll see about that in just a moment. But we find the two at odds. Martha thinking that service is very important. And it is. He wants our service. The reason He loved there and that home that He visited there all the time in Bethany was because they treated Him so well. Toward the end of His ministry, every time that Christ had to go to Jerusalem, the place that He would lodge is there at this home. It wasn't that far. From the Mount of Olives, it might have been half an hour's walk. Pretty close distance. And of course, Martha was very concerned about taking care of His needs. He was grateful for that. But there was something more important. You know, I want to serve my Lord. I enjoy serving Him, but there's something more important than service. And that is worship. That is fellowship. That is sitting at His feet and listening to Him. You know, the Lord has allowed me to be a preacher. I enjoy preaching. I do a lot of preaching. In fact, as some of you might have heard, not this last week, but the week before, I was in Mexico. And I was scheduled to go with another preacher, an evangelist, and at the last minute he had to cancel, so I had to take his place. In 5 days, I visited 5 different churches. In those 5 days, I preached 13 times. But the Lord also blessed. We saw 14 people accept the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a wonderful time. I'm a preacher. I end up being the speaker all the time. But if I'm not careful, I don't let myself and don't give myself time to become the listener. What Mary was doing here was being a listener. She was sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to Him. This is also the most sacred spot on earth. How much time do you spend as a child of God at Jesus' feet listening to Him? He has a lot of ways of communicating. He has the Word of God that he wants to use to tell you something. He has the Holy Spirit that wants to whisper in our ear. He has a lot of other ways of he wants to communicate with you. But we're so busy sometimes, we're like Martha. And we lose the opportunity to sit in the most sacred spot there is, at the feet of our Lord, which we can do every day. But then there's another instance here that we find the same thing. Someone sitting at the feet of the Lord. In John chapter 11. Let's turn over to John chapter 11. And we're going to read verse 32. Now in this situation, it's really sad. Mary and Martha were single ladies. Apparently they'd never married. They had a brother named Lazarus. And in the Jewish culture, a woman who was not married, who'd lost her family, was in very dire straits. They depended upon a man to take care of them. Of course, Lazarus was the one who took care of them, their brother. Well, he passed away. He died. Of course, here in John chapter 11, we find the great miracle of how the Lord Jesus Christ resurrected Lazarus. But before that, let's see what Mary did when Jesus came there to that little village just east of Jerusalem. Verse 39 says, verse 32, I apologize. Verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Of course, she is at her most vulnerable moment here. She's going through grief. Many of us have had to experiment grief. We'll do that. I feel like in this very day, our church is suffering grief. We have a very lovely lady that we love very much, a member of this church who passed away this week. Sadly, she's not here in Fort Worth. It happened up in Michigan. We lost Jean May. Always remember how they sat over there, right? She and Brother Charlie. They've been part of this church for a long time. We know that she's been having a lot of health problems. She's been on dialysis for many years. But still, it was very sudden when we found out this week that she passed away. Tomorrow will be the funeral. And my heart breaks because my wife and I would love to be there. And there's just no way we can get up there. And many of us are saying, remember the Bible talks about a church being a body. And this body is suffering. Just like Mary was suffering. And during that grief, where was the first place that she wanted to go? To the feet of Jesus. When you're going through a rough time, when there are times of tribulation, when everything seems to be going wrong, the first place we should go is to the feet of Jesus. Now she was saying, Lord, if you'd just been here, this would have been solved. She was expressing her need at that moment, and some people might criticize her for what she was saying, but that doesn't make any difference. That's what happened when you're in grief. You know, this is the one passage where we have the shortest verse in the Bible. It's verse 35. Remember, two words. Jesus wept. When she grieved, he grieved also. Now, a lot of people have said, well, what's going on here? He knows he's going to resurrect Lazarus. Why is he grieving? Because grief is contagious. Yes, our Lord knew that he was going to resurrect Lazarus, but he was facing something that all of us must face, and even he, being the Son of God, was facing the consequences of sin in the lives of those he loved. Lazarus died because he was a sinner. Now, we have the solution for that sin.
If the Lord tarries his coming, we will die also. There will be grief. But we know what's going to happen. Amen. We know where we're going. Amen. We have the blessed hope that we'll see Jean May in heaven. Amen. But we still grieve. And our Lord grieves with us. Because sin is a horrible thing. In our deepest need, when we're broken the most, the graces of our God is still there to get us through it. He knows, he loves, he cares. When we're going through grief and someone comes and cries with us, we don't look at that and say, oh, they're such crybabies. No, quite the contrary. We're appreciative of the sharing of grief that they have with us. And instead of looking at them with disdain, we are appreciative. And you know, our Lord weeps also. Some people think, well, in heaven we won't have to weep. It doesn't say that. Scripture says that in heaven he will wipe away our tears. If he wipes away our tears, it's because we are crying. Now, it won't be so much from grief. I think it'll be from joy. You know, there's a lot of different ways of crying. Sometimes they're tears of joy. But whatever they are, he will be there. There will be some surprises when we get to heaven. There'll be some loved ones that we're expecting that we might not find there. That would be horrible. I think there'll be some grief in that area. On the other hand, there are going to be some loved ones we're going to find that are there that we didn't expect. I think there's going to be some tears of joy. And our Lord will be right there with us to celebrate and to join in. He gives the very best to those who leave the choice to him. Now here we find that Mary scolded him a bit and said, Lord, if you'd just been here, this wouldn't have happened. But you know what? He was saving the best for last for her. She thought there was not much hope. In fact, he talked about the resurrection. He says, I believe that. She says, there will be a day when he will be resurrected. She had the very same hope we did. But he did a lot more than just that. He gave him his life for a short term again so that she could enjoy even some more years with him. But this same Mary, it's interesting that on four occasions that we're looking at this, every single one of these women, it's really two different women. The first was Mary Magdalene. These other ones is every time it's Mary from Bethany. In John chapter 12 and verse 3, we find that she did something else. This wasn't very long after Lazarus had resurrected. Apparently, in celebration and thankfulness for what had happened and Christ raising Lazarus from the dead, the family decided to have a great feast. So they got together there in Bethany and they're having this feast. And as they're having the feast, Mary wanted to express her love for what Christ had done for her. Christ had saved her. Christ had taught her. Christ had comforted her. And now she wanted to express her love by anointing him with her most precious possession. Verse 1 of John chapter 12 says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now, in this instance, we're finding the very same thing as the very first time there in Luke chapter 7, when we found that first Mary anointed his feet also. Of course, she anointed them with her tears. In this instance, she did it with anointment. In that time, it was very common for the people of that culture to, from a very early age, to begin saving up for their death. You know, we do the same thing. many of us already have burial arrangements done ahead of time. We might buy a burial plot. We might go to the funeral home and prepay everything. We're getting ready for it. That's just part of life in some ways. Well, they did the same thing, not so much they would worry about their burial place and things like that, but they'd also worry about the spices and the things that would need to anoint the body, which was the custom of the Jews at that time. And it would take much money to do that. In fact, they would save for many years and accumulate it and buy a little bit at a time, and there after a while they would have enough for what the need was. And apparently Mary had been doing that. She was preparing for her death, but she decided the greatest gift that she could give her Savior was that thing that she'd been saving for a long time. Maybe she understood that his death was coming. He predicted it. He prophesied that he was going to die. Many would not accept it. The disciples wouldn't accept it. I don't know what he taught Mary as she sat at his feet, but it's very possible he explained a lot of these things to her. And maybe she was one of the few that understood of what was coming. In fact, the Lord talks about how this was being done to honor his coming death. But what she was giving him was her best. Have you brought to the Lord Jesus Christ your best? Now, sometimes our concept of what is best is not really right, or not maybe what we think it is. We always are thinking our best is something of high value, of money, or something else. But let's be honest. There are some things that we value, and we really put a high value on it, but we don't realize we're putting a high value on it. For instance, our time. You know, everyone has the same amount of time. The wealthiest person on this earth and the poorest homeless person have the exact same amount of time. They have 24 hours in every day. God gives us all the same amount of time. And once it's wasted, we can't get it back. It's not something you can save up. So sometimes, if we're really honest about it, it's very valuable to us. And if someone takes that away from us, we get upset. We get even mad. How dare they take away some of my life from me, some of my time, because I have a limited amount of it. So therefore, how important is it to give that to our Lord? Now, I know what we're thinking sometimes. You know, on Sunday, I went to church, and I spent an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours at church. I gave him some of my time. Well, I'm glad you did that. But really, what is that? You know, a lot of the things is, well, if it's convenient for me, if it's left over, if I don't have anything else at that moment. In other words, we'll give him time, but only if it works out for us. But you know what really is important? When everything else is being brought upon us. Because you know what happens? We have great demands of our time. Our job, our family. There could be a lot of things that are demanding our time. And we say, okay, yeah, all of y'all, you just wait a minute. There's someone has a more important place in my life than even you. It's my Lord Jesus Christ, and he deserves the first of my time. That's our best. That's our all. Really, what it gets down to is when we sit at the feet of Jesus, we realize what things are really valuable. What are the most important things? And we realize we give him the most. We'll have our missions conference like we did last month, and we talk about faith promise, and we're going to give him all these things and give him of our money, and that's great. We should do that. But he wants it more than just that. He wants our best, our most valuable thing. Mary had the most valuable thing she could think of. Something that she saved up all of her life. In other words, think about what is the most valuable thing that you have that you saved for all your life. Some of us think, well, our 401k. Or our house. We're always thinking about material things. As I'm getting along in life, I begin to think, well, my time is pretty valuable. I want to spend more time for myself. Wait a minute. Now is the most important time that I can give something to my Lord. You know, it doesn't matter what age we are. It doesn't matter our physical condition. It doesn't matter how decrepit we become as this life goes through. We can still give our Lord our time. There's never a time when we cannot do that. When he finally says, okay, your time's up, come on home, then we have nothing more to give him. So the question is, are we willing to give that to him? If there was an auction for our soul, what does the world offer for our soul? Well, the world wants to offer pleasures, maybe some fame, riches, maybe some luxury, some fun, a good time. The world says, okay, give me your time and I'll give you a lot of fun. Now, the Satan wants our soul also, and also our time. Scripture says that when the Satan comes, he offers us the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. What does Christ offer us? He offers us forgiveness, cleansing, and eternal life. I think that's a good deal. I think that's the best deal. All these people are bidding. It's like an auction. Whose offer are you going to take? Which is the highest offer? Which is the best offer? Which is the best place to be? I started off this morning talking about being in the best place on earth. The most important place. The most sacred spot. You think, well, it's the church building. No, that's not. This building will not be here Monday. It's nothing special. I've been to places where religions consider it to be the most sacred spot for them. Go to Jerusalem. Three different religions of the world. Supposedly, that's where they consider that to be the most important spot. The Jews, the Christians, and the Muslims. And they're always fighting over those sacred spots. If you want to find an expensive piece of real estate, go to Jerusalem. But that's not the most sacred spot. The best spot is to be at the feet of Jesus, wherever he's at. Are you there today? Are you sitting at his feet like Martha was? Are you finding that place where he wants to give you forgiveness? He wants to give you fellowship. He wants to teach you. He wants to meet your needs when you're broken, when you're suffering. He wants to be there when you give him your best. If you want to give a gift to someone, it doesn't have the same meaning if you do it from a distance. Sometimes because of the situation, because of circumstances, you can't be there in person. So you'll send a card in the mail, throw a few bucks in there. You're trying to express your love. In our modern day, well, we can get off the internet and send flowers anywhere in the world, can't we? But what if you made the special trip to go there? What if you went around the world and said, I'm here for your birthday and I want to give you a birthday present? Man, that would mean a lot, wouldn't it? If you want to express your love for Jesus, go to his feet. Don't do it from a distance. Get as close as you can to him. Don't try to satisfy him by sending a card and some money and saying, okay, I'm going to do it from a distance. And how many of us are doing that today? Trying to placate him. Trying to say, okay, he should be satisfied with this little bit that I'm giving. When he wants us to go to his feet, sit down next to him, in his presence, and say, Lord, I want to give you the best that I have. The ointment that I've been saving all my life for. We give him that, then we really love him. Our Heavenly Father, I come before you this evening, this morning, and I thank you for the illustration of this woman Mary and also the other Mary and the importance of always being at your feet. Father, I need to constantly ask myself, am I sitting at your feet? Am I so busy that I forget about where I'm at, that I'm doing things just to do them, and I've forgotten. There was a time when you saved me, and I had that wonderful day that I sat at your feet and you cleansed me of all my sin. But Father, as a Christian, I need to be every day thinking about being near you. Today, Father, in our audience and those that are here with us and listening, we can find all different kinds of situations. Some who maybe have never known you as their Savior, never come to you before, but today they want to be close to you. They want to accept you. I pray, Father, that they will do that thing. Also, I pray for our brothers and sisters in their life that is very full of activities. They're doing many things. They're thinking that, that they're using their time wisely, but they're not really sitting at your feet. Father, I pray that you would make us come to you and sit at your feet. May we constantly ask ourselves every day, am I in the most sacred spot that I can be? And that is with my Lord. As we have an invitation, I'm going to pray that you'd come forward, and if the Lord's touching your heart, that you'd do so. Let's stand. What number are we going to sing, Brother John?
Page 58.
We're going to sing page 58, and if the word of the Lord is working in your heart, I want to ask you that you come forward. If you want to talk to someone, we'd be glad to help you out. Glad to give you something. If you want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, now's the time to do it. If maybe you just need to make a commitment to the Lord that today, this week, this month, you're going to be at His feet every chance you get, that might be a good thing too. The Lord is touching your heart. Respond to this very first verse. Come forward and let the Lord let you sit at His feet.
Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there. Come while He waits for you. List to His voice, leave Him with your care, and begin life anew. Kneel at the cross, leave every care. Kneel at the cross, Jesus will meet you there. Kneel at the cross, there is room for all who would His glory share. Bliss there awaits, harm can ne'er befall those who are anchored there. Kneel at the cross, the cross, give your idols up, look unto realms above, turn not away to life's sparkling cup, trust only in His love. Kneel at the cross, leave every care.
I appreciate your attention here this morning. Thank you for coming. We'll have our services again this evening at 6 o'clock. Expect you to be here. Pray for our pastor. She's in Ohio. We'll be traveling back this week. We expect him to be here for the Wednesday night services. So thank you so much. And then we'll be dismissed with Brother John with our weekly, monthly chorus.
Saying, draw me near.
Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. You're dismissed.